And that means we can come into his family in relationship with him. Now we're looking at right at the other end of the spectrum, which is what have we gained as a result of being predestined? And it's our inheritance. So what is that? And one of the things I'm not going to talk about, and just to say straight from the off, is I looked at rewards. Our rewards are in heaven. You often hear that phrase. I'm not going to cover that today at all, because I'm looking at the basic inheritance that God gave us, because rewards, I've always found it an interesting topic that will take more time than what I have right now to go into. So, future inheritance. He has given us an inheritance when Jesus, God, chose us from the beginning of time, when Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and then from now on, we can now know him. But also it says we are God's inheritance. So it's a two-way thing here. It's a case of we inherit something, but God is also excited because he inherits us. And look around and get excited. God inherits us. And see how you feel, because God loves it. And what really came across when we look at inheritance is the fact that sometimes we settle for the fact that this life is what everything is about. Because there's lots of good things in this life. There's family, there's kids, there's friends, there's sport, there's all sorts of things that make us happy and we find satisfaction in. And so to look to the end of time is really hard because we can only look at next week, what's happening next week. But actually the motivation, as hopefully we'll go in to see, is totally tied up with what happens at the end of this earth. Judgment Day, not Terminator style, a different kind of style. Where God comes and says, it's now wrapping it up, it's time for a new heaven, new earth, and how that affects us. So how do we live for the future? Because it's very difficult. As I said, things bog you down in the day-to-day life. You think, I've got this to do, I need to get that organised. And I've brought it right back to a level that I can understand, and that is organising a golf day for a group of men, which we're planning to do. And this is just an introduction, so bear with it. But I've set a date. The men will get together to play golf on that day. Therefore, leading up to that day, a lot of us will go out and practice and train and try and get our shots right, ready for that day. The whole time, other things are happening. We're going to work. We're doing that. But our focus is still coming in. At that point, that's going to happen. And I know in my mind, I need to be ready for that day. So it doesn't mean that I spend all my time doing it, but I know it's there. And you can build for the future because you're aware that that golf day is coming up. So you prepare for it, but then it happens. Now where it is harder, and hopefully we'll get into this a bit more, is when you look to the future and you don't actually know when that is, it's harder to plan for it and harder to wait for it and move towards it. But actually, hopefully today we'll see a few verses that will get us excited by the reality of what that time is. When God says he gets his inheritance and we get ours, that is the whole point of why Jesus died, is not now. It is then when we're with him and we go back to how it was in the Garden of Eden when we walk freely with God. And that is what God saved us for. Not this life now to get through. It's not what he's doing. This is a quick fix. See, oh, this will get you through the next 80 years. It's to say at that point, at the end of time, when he's reunited with us, he says, I receive my inheritance. And he receives us. He loves it. We receive our inheritance. We're with God. And death, it can be a scary thing to think about. Most of the time when I think of death, I think of the loss of it rather than dying itself. But whoever's left behind will feel that. And it's a painful thing. But actually, when we look at what we're going to, it's getting that balance. Actually, life, when it finishes, we know it, and that is the mindset we have because it's the only thing we understand, starts in its fullness and its perfect completion of body, no sin, no sickness, no more death. At that point, when we meet God, and you become alive, and that is life. And say Ephesians 1, verse 11 to 14, it's that sort of area we're going to be looking at today, so. It says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So that's just the first verse really to say the inheritance is to come. We know it's there, it's sealed in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. When you meet Jesus and He changed your life and you accept Him and say, I'm going to follow you, that is sealed in us that we're going to get this inheritance at the end of time. But it is yet to come. We know of it. We know it's coming, but it is yet to come. In Ephesians 1 verse 18, it carries on by saying, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. So God is excited about His inheritance, which is us. So the end time, this, the more I'm reading into it, the more exciting it is, because the amount of conversations you can trigger off when you start talking about death to people, it's phenomenal. And I've had it even looking at this with neighbours that don't really speak too much about the Bible and stuff, but we've been having conversations about it. Because it's interesting. People want to know. And in the Bible it says we have an inheritance. It's an exciting thing. When I talk to people about Jesus, I often talk about what He did on the cross. He died, He rose again. That is important. But what are we going to? Why has He done that? To reconcile us to Him so that at the end of time our inheritance is to be stood before Him again, knowing Him in His fullness, and him loving us. God's whole point of sending Jesus was to gain us as His inheritance. So that this inheritance is a key thing. This is what it was all about. God sees the ultimate completion of us meeting Him face to face as the end game. That is the point He wanted to get us to then carry on worshipping Him. So once we make a decision to follow Jesus and say, thank you for choosing me, that is the beginning. That is not the sole purpose God did it. As I said, to walk through life with Him, that is a massive bonus, if you like, to help us through this life, but it is for that end time when our bodies are no more and then we stand before Him. That's why He did it. It's that end time. It is exciting. But as I've already said, we can get caught up in life being our eternity. We only think of 80 years, 90 years, 120 years, however long we're going to last, and then we can't see beyond that. So how can we get a taste of this inheritance? Just three things, really, that we'll look at in the context of, number one, God's timescale. When we think of time, we're narrow-minded. So a little think around that. The purpose of God doing what He's done, sending Jesus, and what could our response be, and how can that change our response? A few ideas to provoke us. So, for the first bit, I will need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if that's okay. That row, can you come up? I should have picked that side, really, but I always go that side. Come on up. Okay, this is our human timeline. Okay. Could you go and stand right by the stage up there? Stand there. It's okay. You don't have to say anything or do anything. You just have to stand. So you three keep closing together. In fact, we'll have four. And then can you go and stand all the way over there? Thank you. Okay, why am I thinking this? Because I think the time thing really has got to me in terms of how God can see eternity. And when I start thinking about time, it does blow my mind because I can't imagine anything not starting, and that is kind of weird. But we're going to have a start point for the illustration. So if we imagine this is eternity backwards, if you like, from the beginning that isn't the beginning, but it was always there, starting up this end, and then this is earth life, if you like, and then that's eternity with God beyond. Now if you look at the perspective of this and how close together these earth life is, and God is obviously, there isn't an end, that's what I can't really express. You can't describe it, but there is no end that way and that way. And then in the middle of no end or beginning, it's mad, is earth. Earth is here. Okay, and I'll put there. So you've got eternity before earth. And then you come through and you've got Jesus died, He rose again. Okay, so that's good. In fact, we're going to have earth is created. You can be earth created. Then Jesus died and rose again. Okay, that's good. Good news. Then the world ends. Do you want a different one? Okay, and somewhere in there is Hannah, where we met Jesus. So you've got key points there. Eternity before. Earth is made. Jesus has died. We meet Jesus. We're made alive to Him. Then there's Judgment Day, the end time. And then there's eternity with Jesus. Now, if you look at the time scale of that visual aid, which is really small to be able to illustrate it, when God says light and momentary troubles, and he's looking down on time, you can see the time frame that he's talking is light and momentary, because it's such a compact amount of time compared to eternity. And when you start thinking like that, so we get to judgment day, and that is the time when we start eternity with him. And it's time to me is amazing when you think like that. Okay, guys, thank you. You can sit down. Sorry if you're disappointed with your part. But the time thing has helped me. I've started to see, actually, okay, I can see why God is so big that he can see all the time. He knows what's going to happen. Therefore, when we come to earth, and the earth lifespan is nothing when it comes to the time of eternity. So what are we living, when we think about earth life? You think about judgment day, we've got a lot more time to think about after that than what we actually have in these lives. So when God says light and momentary, he doesn't mean it doesn't matter, I'm not interested. What he means is actually, when you look at eternity, 80 years or 90 years or 120 years is not a massive span of time. It is amazing. So our inheritance lasts forever. This is what we've inherited. He can see eternity. We have glimpses of what is to come. And again, I could do talks on the kingdom of God that is now, that we see now, and kingdom of God that is not yet. So the one that is in heaven when we meet him finally and all the things that we'll have there. We're not going to go into that. We're going to talk about what it is now. So what is the purpose of God? The purpose of God in this is to reconcile man to himself, to bring us to relationship with him, and to share eternity with him. And why? So he can bring glory to himself, and we can glorify him. So why does God do it? To glorify himself. And we will, because we know what he's done. And sometimes you can think, well actually, why? Well, that's a bit selfish, just to have God to glorify himself. But actually, he deserves it because of what he's done. And so there is no argument to be had. So, we will worship him. Now go on, just reiterate the bit that I said earlier, is that our inheritance is not yet, so it is a future promise that we've been given. And until we acquire it, we won't fully understand it, because we cannot imagine time in itself. And he saved us for eternity, not just to get us through life. That's the other thing. Every time I'm thinking about eternity, it makes me freer to talk about God with people, because it just is amazing. When you see God how big he is, you can't stop. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, it is amazing. Eternity, forever. So when we talk to others about the promise God has given us, we live very much in the now. What has he done? And I said before about our conversations with people being a relevant testimony, which is recent, to be able to share that with others. Well, now I'm kind of coming all full circle to, coupled with that, is the reality that we believe our inheritance is coming, and how good that is. Because that's what we need to talk about. We don't talk about the end, so we don't talk about dying. What happens after we die? We should be bold. We should be confident. Jesus has given us an inheritance. And this is what gives us hope. Jared was talking about last week, the hope of God that comes in, something that we haven't yet had, but we know is coming. And the Spirit has sealed us, sealed it in us. We're in a fallen world. We see glimpses of the glory of God, but there is a time coming when we will see it everywhere, in everyone, when we stand together and we worship God. We might kneel, we might lie down, whatever it looks like, but there's a time coming when we will do that. In Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, I'll read this. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the very least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So he's saying, okay, if you serve me well, you can now inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So from its very conception of the idea of God, of the world to begin, the end time was marked. And this is where he wanted to get us to. And why he's given us the grace to know him and choose us. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or a naked or sick person in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's a clear direction that at the point of judgment, when we have the earth has run its course and we're before God, those that are chosen gain that inheritance. Those that are not have another destiny, which is away from God. And why is that important? Because twofold, this shows that at the moment we're not living in our inheritance. Because we all walk together. There is no sheep or goats in that sense. We all have equal opportunity to meet God and to see him for who he is and to share him with those around us. But there will be a time where God will get people in and say, you're going to now have that inheritance, and there are those that won't. And he says, at this time, inherit the kingdom that he has prepared for you. I find it really, really hard to marry up that time when we get there, and he's sending one way, one the other, but it's a truth. And why do I want to say that? Because it inspires me to share the truth that has been put in me with those around me. And it's a constant thing that I will have weeks, months where I'm right, really spending time with God, wanting to talk about Jesus, what he's done for me. And then there'll be times when I'm off and thinking, actually, I've filled my life with other things. I'm not that interested at the moment. But when you look at that, the reality of what happens at the end of time, when we receive our inheritance, I want to have said to God at that point, I have shared you with as many people as ever I could, so that they stand here with me as we receive your inheritance. Because it's such a great thing. I am motivated by his love for us. He first chose me, and he's got many more that he's chosen. I want to go and take that. It stirs me to do it. If we live in the knowledge of what is and the hope of what is to come, we can be sold out for God while we're here, because we're aware this isn't the end game. And that's why having an eternal perspective, looking at that inheritance, realizing we haven't made it yet, is vitally important. Because otherwise, we do things half-heartedly. Or we don't really find whether we're coming or going. And I've had times where Sally will testify, have days, probably a year, each year where I just sit there going, what is the point of being a Christian, because nothing ever happens? And I get really frustrated. I'm quickly rebuked by God, but I do ask the question. Because we're a church that is on a mission. And we spoke about mission. So when we're praying for people to be healed, I say, why, God, why aren't these people getting healed? Now I have a testimony of God has healed me, and I praise him and thank him for that. But we have people that haven't been. I say, God, I want to see this happening. So pray for him. I want to see more people come into the knowledge of who Jesus is. Because I want them to stand with me on that final inheritance day and say, come on, let's go and get our inheritance. And God will receive us to him as he takes his inheritance. There's a love there and a passion from the Father, which is another talk in itself. And so we're moving into what our response is. What is our response to that? What I'll put again, our response is... I was going to say I've used the wedding example, but actually God used that, so I won't steal that idea. But actually that is the case. When we think about being reunited, when that great day and the wedding feast is there and we actually come with God, He is as excited about that moment as we are. It's a two-way love affair between God and His people. And that is what is exciting to me. The more I went into this thinking, what do we get as a result of our inheritance? And I came away more with the fact that God the Father loves us that much that He is so excited, and why that wedding example of the bride and the bridegroom is so accurate, because God sees us as His inheritance as well, and He's excited and passionate about that. He loves us like that. And I think that reunion is just going to be amazing when His full level of love and things that our bodies probably couldn't cope with at the moment, and we see that. The wedding is a mutual thing normally, and both parties are happy. For God, this moment is what earth and Jesus dying about has been all about. When Jesus died, the purpose of earth was to have that moment of full reuniting with Him. And what a feast that will be. And I want to see a humongous table with people that I know that have come into that relationship with Him. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 4. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And again, it's funny when you read something and it comes alive to you and you want to get that out and go, just feel what I felt when I read that. But it was a real sense of, I can understand why it's so good, because we aren't all going to get healed. That is a reality. But I will continue to pray and ask God. But at this point, all of that will be dealt with. There'll be no more death. There will not be pain, suffering. And a lot of us have had that. Hardships, pain, suffering, death. And God will dwell with us. And the only example I can look at is when Adam and Eve walked the garden before the fall. And they were able to just have commune with God and talk to God. And that's what we'll be able to do with Him. Be able to stand with Him. He will dwell with them. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That kind of intense passion and relationship is something we will never fully understand until we are there. And that will bring us to our knees. I have no doubt about that. And we have moments where we have that, when we're worshipping or we're praying, we just feel the presence and the weight of God. But actually this is going to be something completely different. And so when you start looking at God and His promises and what He's done for you, you can think, okay, God, I've got this pain. I'm going to pray that You take it away, but I know a time is coming. Okay, God, I'm going to walk. This may cause me to suffer what I'm going to say now, but I know a time is coming when. And that's how you live in the fullness of your inheritance. I know a time is coming when I will be fully restored in relationship to You and stand before You and worship You and love You and be embraced by You. And the passion of God for His people will be unleashed in huge, huge levels like we've never known. And it will be constant for eternity. And it blows my mind. And He will dwell with us. Not a distant God, but He will dwell with us. We'll be able to talk to Him. So I'll just put a little subheading, practical living, and how can we walk with that truth? As I said, there is that phrase really, if you're going through a hardship, or if you're mourning, or if you're struggling, but a time is coming when I will gain my inheritance, and the and is big, God will inherit me as His inheritance. It's a two-way thing. God is excited by you, not just we're excited by Him. That's my son. So practically, So we're called to love one another. So how does it look? How should the church look? The church should be the most joyful place that anybody ever visits or sees, with people that are full of joy. And it doesn't mean happy. It means full of joy. That actually, as I said, but I know a time is coming, fills you with joy. Because you can be struggling. You can be sad. It says, mourn with those who mourn. It's not a case of you have to put on a face. It's a case of, but I know a time is coming when I will receive my inheritance and he will receive me as his inheritance. So we're called to love one another. Because our response is, don't reject or resent whom God has chosen. If you're with a body of believers and you struggle with people, okay, tell God that who he's chosen is the wrong person. Because he's chosen. And therefore that love, you can say, God, I need your love and compassion. And I'm sure many of you have prayed that in terms of me. I need your grace with him. And that's fine. My wife has often prayed that as well, I'm sure. But don't reject or resent who God has chosen. So when we're stood together on that final day, you won't remember the things that went on here. Or when somebody's wound you up or upset you. You'll be looking at the King of Kings. And those things will seem like nothing. Because you'll be looking at the Father. And you'll be pleased that that person is with you. And they're with you. And you're on your knees. And feeling the full force of the Father's gaze and embracement. So when we get drawn, that's really been on my heart. Is that the things around us stop us looking ahead. Therefore, we'd rather deal with what's around us now. And think about that. And wallow. And build it up into something it's not. Instead of just confronting it. Because when that day comes, this will not be the be-all and end-all to you, because you'll be face-to-face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and blown away by the impact of his love and his face that shines upon you when you're there. God's chosen us to spend eternity with him, us and others. Doesn't matter on your style, the dress sense, music taste, film choices. I don't know about that one. All these sort of things become irrelevant. Different people. It doesn't matter, because when we're with God, we will stand hand in hand, and I'll tell you, we'll be pleased to be together in that environment. God has a real father heart for us and an anticipation. I just think, as a father, how frustrating must it be knowing what is coming. Now, I don't exactly know how time works, and this could just be a click of his fingers to him, and so I don't know if God gets frustrated, but in my imagination of a father, the father, how he can see what you're going to go to, but you lose out on even seeing a glimpse of it now because children are quarrelling, his kids are not getting on. You say, well, come on, I've shown you how to love. Love, when you get here, it'll just be love, and you'll see what it is. But actually now, go and say sorry. Go and tell somebody that they've upset. And receive that well, with grace. Okay, that's good. I'm really, really sorry that made you feel like that. But actually, I just want you to know that I do love you as a brother and sister. And it's gone. And God can smile upon that, going, these are my children, this is my bride. And it doesn't stop us knowing the Father's love either, because that can be our barometer of what love is how we respect and respond to each other. I can sense more than frustration, I'd put more of his sadness when we do that. When we feel sad towards him, when we upset him, the Father's heart is saddened. Why is it saddened? Because he wants that fullness of relationship with him, and he can see that time is passing. Don't be short-sighted, I'll put, in terms of this life. It's not the be-all and end-all while we're here. God has given us many privileges while we walk this earth to help us get through and experience love and closeness. But that won't be enough when we have the hard times. It's God's joy is what gets us through those hard times. We should be a people that are the most thankful people in the world. When people talk to us, they see a nation, as I imagine Christians as a nation, which is a big, booming field to the worldwide church that follow God and love God. Okay, we should be a people that are thankful. People look at them and go, they are so grateful, they are so thankful. What is it that makes them like that? That is our hope in Him. And I think that it also helps you come to terms, it has helped me come to terms with the fact that we're not the finished article. Therefore, people will get frustrated with you. I will get frustrated with people. People will get frustrated with me. But actually, I know there is a time when there is a finished article, but I live in the goodness and the grace of God because I know this isn't the finished article. And it is all about relationship with God. He loves us. He chose us. He predestined us. He's promised us an inheritance. We are often more concerned with how people have hurt us or we hurt other people than the fact that we're causing God anguish. And our first port of call should always be to God, I'm sorry I've caused you anguish and pain. Sorry. That word again. Sorry. And God can transform us and change us. We should be the most grace-filled people. Because we know this life is not the end all, be all and end all. It's all about relationship. The more you look at it, the more you think, by having that end zone in your mind, should make us the most gracious, loving, thankful people that people ever meet. There's no judgment in there. There's no condemnation. No hate. So just to finish, I wanted to just read a part of the Lord's Prayer. And I think this is a good prayer because the more He reveals to you of His kingdom, I think it is, it's the Lord's Prayer, so I know it's a good prayer. But it helps you think how you pray. Because sometimes, how can I get a vision of what that is like? And it is just by sitting down with God and actually thinking about this. God has suddenly opened my mind to new things that I hadn't really experienced before. But it's the bit that says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to see more of God's kingdom here. I want to see more of it in here. And I want people to see it in me, which means us reflecting the character of God. And that is the grace of God that will help us do that. And it is also the more time we spend with Him, He will reveal that to us. But I wanted us to finish by singing. I've asked Paul just to finish with a song. And this is just talking about the fact that the end time is coming. There is a day coming when we'll be face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the lover of our souls. And just start saying to God, I want to get that context, because you can keep saying it. But I know a time is coming has been a phrase that has stuck with me throughout all of this. This has happened now, but I know a time is coming, and I will keep saying it because it really helps me get into perspective this life and eternal life. And this song just helps us see that. So.